Before we get to that coverage of the vet shortage, Serena Locke is here to give us the rural news of the week. And we're staying on topic because Australia's chief vet says the chance of foot and mouth disease entering the country has likely doubled following its spread to Indonesia.
Yes, good morning, Clint. This is a real worry, this story. Indonesia is yet to officially declare an outbreak to the OIE, which is the World Organization for Animal Health, but reports of thousands of detections of the disease surfaced on Friday last. Now, foot and mouth disease is considered one of the most serious livestock diseases. It affects cattle, sheep, pigs, other cloven-hoofed animals like goats as well. Now, Australia's chief veterinary officer, Dr. Mark Shipp, says its spread to Indonesia highlights Australia's risk of an incursion, which would be devastating to the livestock sector.
Australia put a lot of effort into achieving foot and mouth disease freedom in our near neighbours in Papua New Guinea, Timor-Leste, Indonesia, over many years working with those countries to achieve foot and mouth disease freedom for their benefit, but also for ours. Having that disease now in Indonesia greatly increased the risk to our cattle, sheep, goat and pig industries.
So why are we so worried about this disease?
Well, as he said, you know, Indonesia's been free of it for about 30 years and it's worked very hard to do that. But it just could devastate the Australian livestock sector and the economy. It was estimated in 2013 that an outbreak would cost around $50 billion over 10 years. But actually, with inflation and other factors, the loss of markets, because you'd have to close your export markets, and slaughter of livestock and disposing of infected livestock, it could be much more than that now. So $50 billion and counting. If you remember, the UK slaughtered around 4 million animals in 2001. It was just devastating. It was, you know, smoking piles of livestock everywhere. And even the army was called in to help. It started with a routine inspection in pigs at an abattoir in Essex. And they found that it might have come in on a sausage, I think, fed to livestock. And it spread throughout England, Northern Ireland and Scotland. And it took 12 months to contain. So we don't want it, basically.
Well, in light of what's happening in Indonesia, what are some livestock industry groups saying about the situation here?
Well, it shuts down trade. Takes years to recover and they need proof to say they've eradicated the disease. So Cattle Council President Marcus Rathman says one of the best defences against an incursion is helping Indonesia get on top of the problem.
We do have to remember that foot and mouth disease is present in most Southeast Asian countries. Australia helped Indonesia in the past eradicate it. And as we are doing with lumpy skin disease, I'm sure the Australian government will be assisting the Indonesian government in this regard to eradicate foot and mouth again. Because being our closest neighbour, it's very important that we do have that buffer.
You mentioned before that the UK outbreak was discovered in pigs. Australia's pig industry has been facing a number of biosecurity threats over the past couple of years. There's been African swine fever, which never thankfully made it in, but Japanese encephalitis at the moment. So what are the pig producers saying about the foot and mouth disease outbreak?
Well, they are saying because of all those previous outbreaks and threats, I suppose, that they're quite well prepared. Sunpork lead veterinarian Kirsty Richards says her team of four vets and four support employees are charged with the healthcare of up to 600,000 pigs, making up 20% of the Australian pork industry. And she says the sector is well prepared.
We have invested a lot of time and effort, not just Sunpork, but the pork industry generally, into African swine fever preparedness since 2019 and in fact prior to that. More recently with the Japanese encephalitis outbreak, we've been working very, very closely with government across all levels, so right from the Commonwealth down to the jurisdictions and down to local councils. So we've not only had the preparedness piece going for some years, but we're living it at the moment in terms of response.
Well, moving on from the FMD outbreak in Indonesia, it's been a shocking year for avocado growers who've experienced some of the lowest prices they've seen in at least a decade.
Yeah, and it surprised social media because over the weekend, photos emerged of truckloads of the fruit dumped and left to rot on the side of the road at the Atherton Sablelands. I'm talking truckloads. It would have been a devastating decision for the farmers to make. But Far North Queensland Growers President Joe Morrow says it was likely a decision they saw coming for a while because the price is so low, it may not have been commercially viable to market them.
There's a lot of production that's come out this year, and also there's still not really great strong super demand that was there, say, before COVID there, in the marketplace. So those two factors have led to some very low prices, some of the lowest prices they've probably experienced as an avocado industry going back probably 8, 9, maybe even 10 years.
They're still $2.50 a pop at my local shops, but I guess I'm paying for the petrol that it took to get them there.
Yeah.
What's the latest on the rodent front? Because speaking of horrifying pictures on social media, it was last year that we were looking at the mice going crazy in New South Wales.
Yeah, it has quietened down over the summer, but experts say another mouse plague, although unusual, would not be impossible if proper action isn't taken in the coming months. And CSIRO researcher Steve Henry says if numbers can be knocked back now before spring, that gives a much lower breeding population base. Now, he says there's currently a significant outbreak in Western Australia, but mice have also been seen in central and southern Queensland, South Australia, northern Victoria, as well as northern New South Wales.
One of the really good things at the moment is that we're not getting very many reports of high numbers of mice through those areas of the central west of New South Wales that were so heavily affected. It has been incredibly wet through that area, and I know that farmers are just sitting waiting for the country to dry out enough to sow it. So we might start to get more reports once the crop starts to go in. But I suspect that farmers this year are significantly more vigilant than they have been in the past, just simply because they were so terribly affected last year.
One of the biggest dairy processors here has lifted the price it's going to pay farmers for their milk into uncharted territory.
Yeah, one of the biggest milk companies, Fonterra, has announced its opening milk price for Australian dairy farmers, and it's a record price for the company. Matt Watt from Fonterra says the company recognises high input costs for dairy farmers and believes suppliers will be happy with the opening price.
There are uncertainties around globally, whether we look at the China COVID-19 lockdowns in Beijing and Shanghai, the Russia-Ukraine conflict, the further supply chain challenges. There's plenty of sort of discussions publicly around what's out there, but having numbers that farmers can now bank on is a really important thing for them to be able to set up for the new season and be confident around.
Something we've talked on Rural News a number of times, that farmers are facing a lot of input cost rises. Everything past the farm gate is getting more expensive. So it's really got me wondering how long the supermarkets can keep their milk at $1 a litre in this inflationary environment. Australian food regulators have approved a new genetically modified wheat variety for human consumption.
Yeah, so the wheat can now enter the Australian food chain, but under current regulations, it can't be grown on Australian farms. HB4 wheat is grown in Argentina. It's drought tolerant with a gene from sunflowers. And FSANS, which is Food Standards Australia and New Zealand, has approved its use in Australia via imported processed wheat flour or baked goods. So it could be GM bickies. And FSANS says it has no concerns about its safety. But meanwhile, Australian farmers can grow GM cotton and GM canola, but they can't grow this drought-tolerant wheat. Grain Growers Chair Brett Hosking says farmers would like to grow it.
There are a lot of traits that would be used for Australian growers. Our frost tolerance is one. We're seeing some of our frost push back a little bit later in the season. What they have previously, so something like that might be a good trait. There's traits we've seen in products like rice around better nutritional benefits and that sort of thing. There is countless possibilities for GM wheat into the Australian market.
It's pretty exciting that one, you know, the canola and the cotton you mentioned, their GM traits are all around pest resistance, but this is actually one that would improve its performance in the Australian environment, so wonder how that journey will go into getting it into the soil here.
It has to be applied for under the gene technology regulator, doesn't it? So yep. That yet has to happen.
Long process. Serena, thank you very much for that wrap of Rural News this week.
Nice to talk, Clint. Thank you.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.